It's a pleasure to welcome Dr. Olivia Chappell to take part in our Felsted Talks podcast series. Olivia was a pupil at Felsted in Manor House back when the school only had girls in the sixth form, and is the co-founder of the charity Horatio's Garden, which provides specially designed gardens for spinal trauma rehabilitation centres. And it's a real pleasure to welcome you today, Olivia, and thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me, Chris.
No, it's great to have you here. And I thought I would start with a question about making a difference, because you know, one of the things we encourage as a school is for our pupils to think about making a difference. And your work with Horatio's Garden really is inspirational. So can you tell us how you make a difference to those in recovery from spinal injuries?
Yes, well, thank you. Spinal injuries are life-changing events that happen. So somebody in a flash, in a moment, can turn from having a normal life to having a life that's going to be paralysed and very different to that they'd expected. And what Horatio's Garden does is we bring beautiful gardens projects to the NHS's spinal cord injury centres. So when you've had a life-changing spinal injury, you'll be in a rehabilitation centre for 6 months, a year, sometimes even more. So it's a really long time to be in hospital in a very clinical environment. And we identified that actually if we could enhance that environment, bring nature right into the heart of the NHS, that we could improve the lives of people really facing very difficult, not only physical trauma, but psychological trauma as well. So we build outstanding gardens right in the middle of the hospital, which are really accessible and really beautiful. And then we run them as projects, so which offer, in collaboration with the spinal units, we offer the gentle side of rehabilitation. So whether that's garden therapy, whether it's music, art, great conversations, social events, anything that will really improve the stays for people who are facing very, very difficult times.
Thank you. And I can imagine that at the moment it's particularly difficult to make the project successful with everything going on in hospitals and with the NHS. Has it been a particularly tough time for the charity?
Yeah, I mean, COVID has thrown enormous challenges. For us, our projects are very different, but actually they have affirmed our work. I mean, we have seen the enormous benefits during lockdown. The sort of vital nature of the gardens, not only for patients who are unable to leave the wards because of the restrictions of COVID, but are also unable to have their visitors there, but also hospital staff who have been working under really difficult situations, you know, wearing full PPE, to be able to go into a garden in your break, to be able to take the air, reconnect with nature, and just, you know, try to deal with some of the stress that people are feeling has been an extraordinary thing. And so I think, you know, for everybody who's involved with the charity and for the NHS as well, people are starting to realise that, you know, really gardens are not a bolt-on extra. These are a vital part of healthcare settings. The evidence and the science all supports that. But what we need to do is to make sure that going forwards that, you know, we care for our patients in environments which are caring environments. And, you know, I think in COVID, we've all reached in lockdown, in that hour, in the first lockdown that we could have to exercise. Nobody thought, oh, I'll do that in the house. You know, everybody wanted to get outside. You wanted to get to your park or under the sky or even out in the rain. And that's what it's like when you're in hospital all the time. So for people who've had acute spinal injury, it's like being on lockdown, you know, any time of the year. So this is really, I think, COVID has got an understanding across to the general public and perhaps people who haven't thought about this before and how hardwired we all are, you know, to be comforted by nature in times of stress. So COVID has affirmed the need for our work. I mean, we always knew that we were having a huge impact, but it has magnified that impact and really made us want to accelerate the progress of the progression of the charity to bring more gardens to the NHS's spinal injury centres across the UK. And, you know, from a fundraising point of view, it has been a very changed picture. Of course, we haven't been able to have any events. We haven't been able to show people around the gardens, do all the things that we do face-to-face normally. We had a huge event for young people, our Young Supporters Committee. And that's been postponed 3 times, but you know, they tell me it's going to be the best party ever when it happens. So our supporters have remained with us, and we have, you know, thanks to extraordinary kindness and generosity of so many people who understand what we're doing, you know, we've been able to maintain our income, which has enabled us to continue the vital work with patients in the projects.
Oh, well, that's very good to hear. And it's also good to hear how well-being is seen as being at the heart of being well, which I think people had forgotten the importance of. And perhaps that's something positive that can come out from the experience of the pandemic.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And really sort of pairing things back to really, you know, those basics of what do make us feel not only physically well, but psychologically well.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that, you know, for most of us, you know, being outside is a big part of that.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we've seen that with the students at school as well, that one of the great things about being back in school isn't necessarily being back in the classroom, but it's being able to be around the site and be able to mix with people and get back into sports and activities and so on. So I think that's a huge part of all our lives. I wonder if I could just take you to back to Horatio's garden and the starting point, because I know it's a very tough story, but a hugely inspiring one. And I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about Horatio and why this project is so important.
Yes, thank you. So Horatio was my our eldest son. We've got 3 boys. And Horatio wanted to be a doctor, and as a young boy, you can volunteer in the NHS from the age of 16. And so he volunteered in the Spinal Injury Centre in Salisbury, which is our local spinal injury centre, and it serves the whole of the southwest. And during the time he was volunteering, he was really struck by the fact there wasn't a garden, there was nowhere for people to go outside apart from the car park. And he did some patient research and staff research, and he talked to people, and he got a questionnaire going to find out if we created a garden, what that should look like, what would people want in it. And he came up with a nub of an idea, and he and my husband David, who's the spinal surgeon for the Duke of Cornwall Spinal Treatment Centre, identified a piece of land which was adjacent to the spinal centre, and we'd started a bit of fundraising and trying to get a sort of back of an envelope plan really for what we were going to do. And then when Horatio was 17 in his lower sixth summer holidays, he went on an expedition with a group of young people on a science expedition to Svalbard. And tragedy struck there. This was in 2011. And tragedy struck their group, and they were camping, and his group was attacked by a polar bear. And Horatio, in trying to defend his friends, buy time for them, challenged the bear and faced it, and in that fight he lost his life, and several of the other young people were very severely injured. And in the aftermath of that absolutely kind of horrendous situation and tragedy, this little sort of seed, a little glimmer of hope started to appear, of our family and friends who knew about the garden that Horatio had thought was a great idea and had been planning, started to donate to it and start to talk about it. And then the word started to spread in our community and the hospital, and then nationally, because the story had hit the press and people who didn't even know Horatio were moved by what had happened and his story and understood what he had seen as a sort of first-hand witness, that if you had a garden in the middle of a place where people were facing life-changing injuries, it would enhance everybody's lives. And we developed within a very short time a considerable fund, which enabled us to create a garden of our dreams, really, that we hadn't ever anticipated we would be able to do. So we called in the sort of garden designer, someone who'd done amazing gardens for people who were in different states of disability, Clive West, and we set about setting up a charity. And within a year after, just over a year after Horatio died, we opened the first Horatio's Garden, and we set it up with a head gardener and a team of volunteers. And then we just started doing it, and we started to listen to the feedback and see how patients use the garden and what the experience was from staff. And gradually the project evolved, and over a couple of years, we were seeing such huge impact on the lives of everybody in the Spinal Injury Centre that the other spinal centres started to come to us. There are 11 in the UK, and see whether we could do a similar sort of thing in their spinal centres. And so that's really what we've been doing for almost the last 10 years now. We've now got 5 projects across the UK, one in build and a 7th one in plan. And we hope within the next 5 to 10 years to have these projects in all of the spinal injury centres. And they're, you know, they are a legacy to Horatio, and they're his great idea. And it shows, you know, really what he saw, that out-of-the-box thought that it can be done if there's enough drive and enthusiasm. And it's also a sort of way for us to, you know, do something that I think he would have been amazing had he had the chance to live his life. He really wanted to make a difference to people. Yeah. And it's been our sort of way of doing that on his behalf, really.
Gosh, that's an incredible story, and an incredible difference to be making as well. And the feedback from the people using the gardens must be very, very reaffirming for you.
It's just extraordinary. I mean, just yesterday I was in the garden in London talking to a young woman who had found art since being in the garden, despite having paralysed hands, was telling me how, you know, working with our volunteer team, how the art had just, she, for the first time since her injury 3 months ago, she'd been able to lose herself in time and be completely absorbed by something, because she was painting in the garden and finding inspiration from the flowers. And she said, you know, I've suddenly started to feel better. Wow. And it's moments like that, as well as the sort of robust science. We work with a team from Oxford University every summer to look at the quantitative and the qualitative data as well, and really make sure that what we're doing is really being impactful and effective.
Mm. Thank you. It's a really inspiring story, and really making a difference, and a great legacy as well, in sad circumstances. And you've had some pretty high profile people supporting the charity as well. I saw a picture of Mary Berry helping out in one of the gardens. Have you had any other big names who've been involved?
We've been really fortunate to have amazing support. I mean, we're thrilled that Princess Eugenie is our royal patron, and she had a personal experience of having had scoliosis surgery at the Royal National Orthopaedic Hospital, where our fifth project is. And so she's, you know, experienced it herself, and she's extremely empathic and understanding and engaged with the charity, and has been to visit our projects. So that's been absolutely wonderful, as well as so many other people, and fantastic garden designers from the garden design world and architects, as well as people who are interested for all sorts of different reasons. So, you know, whether they've, like Mel Gidrich, who had a great friend who was in the Spinal Injury Centre, Joanna Lumley, who passionately believes in gardens and the impact that they can have on our health. It's really been an incredible experience, and it's just that sort of warm-hearted sense that so many people have wanted to get involved and sort of join this community for change, really. And it shows sort of if we all do believe in something, we can all play our part in different ways. You know, every one of the volunteers who gives up their time to come and help with the weeding or support patients or make tea or bake cakes, and all the fundraisers, it is a very warm charity with a sort of sense of a family about it, but this common purpose that we can make change if we all believe and see how something can make such a difference.
Yes. No, really, really good to hear. And at Felsted, one of the things we talk about a bit is a growth mindset and learning from mistakes. I wonder, through the process of expanding the charity, are there any mistakes that you've made that you think you can improve on next time? Any lessons learned?
Oh, yes. And, you know, I'm a great believer in learning from mistakes. And, you know, when I think back through life, I think, you know, the mistakes are the things one learns from far more than you know, sometimes the successes, I think. I mean, sometimes it can be hard to address, but I think it's so important, such an important thing. And we have a way within the charity of looking at those and trying to analyse them and work out if things didn't go right, why they didn't go right, so that you do learn from them. But also making sure that we have the opportunity that all of the stakeholders and people involved can give their feedback, so that we learn from everybody, not just our own mistakes, but other people's perception. And when you're building, you're doing something new, so it is innovative work. It's really highly designed, incredibly contemporary gardens and buildings in the middle of NHS architecture, which is a challenge. And the, yes, the actual physical act of the challenge of building it is enormously difficult. You know, you're building on ground that often people don't know what's underneath it, you know, whether there's high voltage cables or archaeological relics. So there's all of the building challenges, and we've learnt a lot from that, as well as, you know, how in an evolving project, how people use it. And that probably is the biggest thing that we learn all the time. So that each garden, you know, there's sort of standing joke amongst the head gardeners who run each of the projects that, you know, the next one is always slightly better. And by the time we get to the 11th, it's going to be, you know, all singing and all dancing, and have absolutely everything nailed. But that's, you know, that's the nature of a growing charity.
Yes, of course. Yeah. No, that's good. And we talk a lot about empathy and kindness at the school as well, and how important those qualities are. And I saw on your website, one of the projects this year has been the Grow to Give, which talks about small acts of kindness making a big difference. And I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about how that project came about and how well that's going.
Yes, thank you. Yes, kindness is sort of fundamental to the charity. It really is the sort of ethos of what we do, so that, you know, when you step into a Horatius garden, you just can feel that yourself, you're comforted by kindness. And whether it's just the fact of kindness of people who are not in the garden but have donated to support it, you know, it really is, it's very palpable. Grow to Give was about small acts of kindness when COVID first hit, when the first lockdown hit. And all of our fundraising for the whole summer, and summer in the garden is a busy time for fundraising, as you can imagine, plant sales and garden fairs and Chelsea Flower Show and things, and all of that, you know, was gone overnight. And so we started to think about ways that within the parameters of lockdown, people could, using the sort of principles of gardens and kindness, which are our sort of two ethoses, to fundraise for us in a lot of ways. But also just to show how the power of gardening can be so basic to creating a connection with people. So it's about growing some things, planting some seeds, making something. So homespunness and gardening that you can do within your home. And maybe just leaving it on the doorstep of your neighbour, so you don't even have to talk to them. Maybe leave a little card that says, you know, I'm thinking about you. Here's a present. If you'd like to donate to Horatius Garden, that would be wonderful, but there's certainly no obligation at all to do that. And it evolved from there, with people selling vegetables on tables on their doorstep, people having, you know, really sort of being creative as to what they could do to fundraise and to spread kindness in their community in the restrictions of lockdown. You know, and I think it's been so much goodness and kindness that has come out of the difficulties that we faced this year. And one of them has been that sort of community spirit, with people in all sorts of ways supporting the elderly and the vulnerable in their communities in a way that they may have not have done in the past.
Yeah, no, that's a really important message, I think, for young people. Sometimes the scale of what needs to be done can be daunting. So finding small ways to make a big difference and to be able to contribute as an individual is a really important thing as a starting point.
Yeah, I also think it's really important to feel that sense of being kind and giving, and what it often does even more to the giver of it than the receiver. And so, you know, trying it out, making, you know, a connection with people, having a smile, or going out of one's way to have a small conversation or show empathy, and sort of clocking in with oneself to see how it feels is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I'm going to take you back in time a little bit, go back to your school days if I can, and ask you for a particular memory from your time at Felsted.
Do you know, as soon as you said that, I started smiling because, you know, it was such a happy couple of years of, and I wish it had been longer. So lots of fun and great friendships. Rim long summer evenings playing tennis on the grass courts at Folly Field. And I think one of the, if I had to really pull one moment, it was I played the flute in the orchestra, and it was really brilliant orchestra, and I sang in the Choral Society, and we did Beethoven's Ninth, and my father's favourite piece of music. My father had also been at Felsted, and he was so proud that I was there too, and he was sitting about the sort of fourth row back, and I could see him kind of shedding a tear during the performance of the symphony, and that, you know, really to me was just a combination of everything emotional and wonderful.
Wow, that's a great memory to have. And was there a particular teacher who was influential, someone who inspired you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are a lot of amazing teachers, but the person who stood out, and I don't know whether his relationship with me, I wouldn't really describe as a teacher, but he was a teacher at Felsted, is Andrew Widdowson. So Andrew, for those who don't know, was a teacher who arrives as a new teacher in his first job to teaching when I was in the lower sixth. And Andrew had had a rugby accident and had become tetraplegic and had spent a long time in Stoke Mandeville. And he came to Felsted really young and new in this injury. And he and I got a bond going, and I used to help him write his overhead projector slides. And we had, you know, we just really got on. And he lived in Ingrams, and I was at Folly Field, and we'd go up and down together and have cups of tea and just talk about life. And he has become a lifelong friend. And he is the most incredible person that anyone who's fortunate enough to have met him, who has shown me how, you know, through immense adversity and disability, you can completely rise above it and adapt his life and make such an enormous contribution to so many people, and really enhance everybody. I'm sure over the years, the number of people at Felsted, pupils who will always remember Andrew for the inspiration that he is of somebody who's so courageous and has battled on through the most difficult of circumstances to have, you know, an incredible career. He's not only taught people maths, but inspired us all to sing in the choir and play rugby and have a laugh as well.
Yeah, no, I mean I was fortunate that the start of my time at Felsted crossed over with Andrew still being here as a teacher. He's moved away now, but he still enjoyed coming back to watch the sport, particularly the cricket or the rugby. He liked to sit and watch some of that. And very inspiring person. I'm sure that memory will resonate with lots of people. And in terms of yourself and the charity, what are the next steps now? What do you aspire to achieve next? You've got some more gardens to do. Any other projects in the making? And how can people help as well?
Well, thank you. Yes, so we're just building the Welsh Spinal Injury Centre in Cardiff. That's a very exciting project in a new spinal injury centre, which will be open at the end of September. Anyone who's a student in Cardiff, we'd love to hear from them. If they'd like to volunteer in the project, we're always really interested to hear from, particularly from young people. And then we're going to be starting work in Northern Ireland at the Spinal Injury Centre in Belfast. And again, if anyone has any connections or lives in Northern Ireland or has family or friends or any suggestions that they could make to us for help with the appeal, that would be wonderful to hear from them. And then our focus after that, over the next sort of 5 to 10 years, is to build 4 other gardens in the regional spinal injury centres so that we have gardens in all of them. And then to run those projects as places of really outstanding rehabilitation for patients. So we've just launched a new arts project, and we're going to be bringing many more artists in residence, live music, poetry groups, storytelling, all sorts of different things to inspire people, you know, when they're facing such a difficult time. So we can only do this if we all do it collectively, and the more people who support us and come with us on this journey, the more fantastic it is. And anyone who's thinking about getting involved with the charity, I would just love it if you'd have a look at our website or contact me or any of the team. Come and visit one of our gardens, maybe get involved with some fundraising, whether it's, you know, doing a physical challenge or whether it's coming to one of our events or becoming a volunteer perhaps. We would really love to hear from you. There's all sorts of different opportunities. And, you know, social media, be great if you can follow us on Instagram, and just, you know, really talk to your friends and family about what we're doing, and be part of this movement to make a difference.
Well, thank you. There's so many different ways that people can contribute, either physically or electronically or just with support and maybe a little bit of finance as well. Olivia, it's been wonderful to talk to you. I feel like we could talk all day and that we wouldn't cover every topic that we wanted to, but thank you so much for your time today and for telling us all about Horatio's garden. And we hope we have lots of people listening who will want to get engaged and involved with the charity. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you to the Felstead community for all your support of the charity. It's just wonderful.
And that was Olivia Chappell talking with Chris Townsend, headmaster at Felstead School. And if you wanted to know more, then you can visit Horatio's Garden online. Just visit horatiosgarden.org.uk, or you could search Horatio's Garden in Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or, of course, Google itself. And if you enjoyed this episode, then why not share it with a friend? You could either share this one episode, or you don't even need to do anything technical. You could just ask them to go to their podcast app on their phone and to search for Felstead Talks. The next episode will be out soon, but until then, thank you for listening to this episode, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye for now.